CF United, the premier Cold Fusion Conference by TerraTech Programming. Created by developers for developers.
Okay, good morning, everyone. So I'm going to be talking about mind mapping for better programming. My name is Michael Smith. I'm the president of TerraTech. And I'm kind of curious, how many people here already mind map? Okay, a few folks. So the rest of you haven't mind mapped but are interested, I guess. Okay, well, I'm going to certainly show you how to mind map, and we're going to actually do an exercise in the middle of the talk where you get to try out mind mapping, because my goal here is for you all to go away knowing how to mind map and understanding what the benefits are and what you could use it for in your application development. So I'll cover what a mind map is. I'll show you some mind maps. Also, in the show guide, there are some printouts of several mind maps. So if the screen font is too small up here to read the detail, you can read the detail in the show guide. And then I'll show you in detail how to mind map, and I'll give you some mind mapping resources and tools you can use. Though I have to tell you, the only tool you really need is your mind and some paper and a pen. So I've been programming for about 25 years now. I've been doing Cold Fusion since version 1.5. And as well as teaching like this, I also do development and do project mentoring. So what is a mind map? It's basically a structured way of representing ideas. So it's sort of like a web of ideas that branch out from a central theme into other themes and then to less important sub-themes. So if I was drawing one from hand, here's an example mind map. You can see it starts at a central theme. And sometimes mind maps, you don't just put words, you put images. And the reason for that is that you want things to be memorable. The great thing about mind mapping compared to linear ways of thinking is that you get to use both sides of your brain. You get to use the left logical side, but you also get to use the right-hand side that is more visually orientated. And that leads to much better memory and also helps you see connections you wouldn't otherwise see. So if you see you're writing a mind map and you see something on one side and it connects to another, you could draw a line to it, or you could drag it over there if you were using mind mapping software and make connections you might not otherwise make. And that's one of the key points of mind mapping. So I find mind mapping is very good for interactive discussions. If you have a team of people, I'll show you some examples of some mind maps we've created with teams. It helps everyone see at once what's going on and be involved in it. And whereas if I write things out as a list, sometimes connections aren't clear, with a mind map, you can easily see connections or make new connections. Also, they're not hard to do. They're very, as you're going to see, we're going to do a little 10-minute exercise and a little bit further into the presentation, and you'll find all of you are able to create them. And not only are they easy to create, but I think they're fun to do as well, which for me, for being creative in development, or for learning new material, that's important. By the way, if anyone has any questions while I'm speaking, feel free to ask me the question or raise your hand. I'll be happy to take those. So the idea of a mind map, it's sort of like if you've ever done an outline for a paper, it's sort of that same idea where you have a hierarchy, but instead of it being going down the page, it starts in the middle and radiates out. And that might seem like a small difference, but it lets you see things a lot more visually, and it lets you make a lot more interconnections than you have with a hierarchical linear list. Also, if you have a large linear list, sometimes the things that are important are spread out so far you can't see they're related together. Whereas with a mind map, because everything starts in the center and radiates out, all the important things are near the center and are near together. Also, it's very good for just brain dumping ideas. So if you're like starting a programming project and you're thinking, well, how are we going to solve this problem? it might be neat to just dump out all the ideas into a mind map and then think about, well, how do they make sense? How can I rearrange them? And that's particularly good for a brainstorming session. If you're with a team and you've got a big problem you're trying to solve, just get the ideas out there, and then you can all share in a solution of them. So let me show you some mind maps. So here's a mind map, one I did for a talk. In fact, another use for mind maps is when you're giving presentations to your team. You can do it as a mind map. And this is using a tool called Mind Mapper. There are plenty of other tools out there. So this was a talk I gave about architecting applications and the different aspects of architecture. So if I go there, I talked about the fact that maintainability was important, and that scalability and timeliness. And then within scalability, you can see that I emphasize database design and whether you're caching, and there are further details down in there as well. So hopefully that gives you some idea of what a mind map is. And then in this tool and the other tools you can use for mind mapping, it's very easy. If you think something here, like suppose you think project management really needs to belong somewhere else, then you can move it to wherever you want it to be. So that's the advantage of a software tool for mind mapping. And, you know, obviously you could do, if you want to use software for mind mapping, you could use any tool. Like, I guess you could do it in Microsoft Word, or I know Visio sort of has a mode for that, but they don't have these easy ways to drag and drop pieces around. You certainly can make a really great diagram in a lot of tools, but the mind mapping software makes it easy to move things around, to rearrange them. You know, if you don't like the way that these things are arranged, you can arrange them to be in a different order. Oops, if I can get it to arrange to be in a different order. So I don't know, arranging it to down was really a good idea, but it lets you rearrange things. And you can also draw connections in that kind of software. So let's have a look at what's important in a mind map. So you typically have a central word or concept, and you might have an image there too, because if you remember what I said earlier, the idea here is to involve the right side of our brain that's visually processing, as well as the left side that deals with linear thoughts. So having some images, having some drawings in there really helps your mind get going and remember the mind map a lot better. The way placed mind maps came from, they were invented about 35 years ago in England by a guy named Tony Bazan, and he created them when he was at school, and he was going to all these lectures and he was having difficulty remembering stuff. Now, I don't know if you have any experience of reading computer books these days. I know I do, and it's like, there's so much material in there, how am I going to remember all this stuff? And he had the same kind of experience. So instead of taking linear notes, he started doing mind maps, and he found they were a lot better way to organize the material. And because it was organized in his own mind and on the paper, it made it a lot easier to remember what was in there, and it also helped him get new connections between different things. So that's where they came from, but they've also, you know, they expanded out into a lot of different areas. So you have a central word, an image, then you have branches coming out from that central word, and those are the most important related ideas. And then you have sub-branches where there's less important information. And then you have sub-sub-branches, or as many of those as you want, as far out you want. In fact, I've seen photos of some mind maps that they did at Boeing for aircraft maintenance information. And they had a mind map that they started on one wall and it went all the way around the room and went onto another wall. And you might think, wow, that's a lot of information, but it replaced like a whole shelf load of manuals of information, and they actually found they understood the information a lot better having created it. So you can go to as many sub-levels as you need to. Or another thing people do with large amounts of information, maybe they have another mind map they link to. So sort of like a subroutine in effect. So you'd have the main map, and then maybe you want more detail on a particular idea, and you go down to another map. And if you think of the hierarchy of mind maps, because it's like a tree structure, you know, any point in the map you could make, remake to be the center of another mind map and have ideas radiate out from there. Another important thing when you're creating mind maps is to try and figure out keywords that you can use to represent your ideas. I know a lot of ideas we have, you know, you'd want to write out a sentence, but if you can come up with a keyword or one or two words that summarize what that concept is, it makes it a lot easier because then you don't get overwhelmed with a lot of English on the mind map. So, and the fact that you have to think those keywords in your mind helps you think through, well, what's important about that idea? So that's actually part of the process. And then, you know, I'd encourage you to use color and images because, again, that's accessing the right side of your brain, helps you think about it in different ways. So here's a mind map from a Fusebox application. Here's another application for mind maps. And all these samples are available on the CD from here. I've got them both as mind mapper files, and I also printed them as PDF files. So if you don't have mind mapper, you can still view them and have a look in more detail. So this is the mind map for a Fusebox application. And I don't know how many of you know anything about Fusebox, but it's basically a way of splitting up your code into different directories. And then within each directory, there's a different actions that can occur on the code. So there's a hierarchy in the program, which is greatly, pretty easily represented by a mind map. So, whoa, this is a big mind map. I think I went past the middle. Well, somewhere in over there, there is the middle of it. Oh, maybe it's over there. No. There we go. Okay, so this was a Fusebox application. It looks like it had about a dozen different circuits. And, you know, here's a particular circuit, and then there are all these different fuse actions coming off it. And then within each fuse action, here's all the different code that will be called within the Fusebox fuse action. And the thing about the mind map is if when you typically do this in a Fusebox application when you're architecting it, and the idea here is to see the different connections between different parts of the code. And if you see, oh, there's all this code over here that looks similar to stuff I'm doing over here, you might make a connection or you might create a common circuit that reuses the code. And it makes it a lot easier to see those kind of connections. Also, having gone to all this work of architecting your code, there exist some tools. Jeff Peters has some tools that will take a mind map and output the default skeleton code for the Fusebox application. And there also exist tools that will take a Fusebox application and reverse engineer the mind map from it. So if you have someone else's code, you can pull it in and then see what the structure is and understand where things are a lot better. So that's one of the cool things you can do with mind maps. Does anyone have any questions? Yes?
You mentioned there was a tool that will generate these maps from
X1.0. Yeah, there's a tool that Jeff Peters wrote. It's on his website, grokfusebox.com. And the two tools, one is called Mind Fuser, which takes a mind map and converts it to the Fuse XML. And then there's a Fuse Minder one that goes the other way. And I think I listed that in my resources section, but it's grokfusebox.com.
Does it need a certain mind mapping application?
So your question is, does it work with only one mind mapping application? No, it will work with any because the way... What it works on is on a text file that you can export from the mind map application. This one and a lot of other mind map applications lets you export your mind map into the hierarchical format with, you know, the main concept is here and then the sub one is one tab over and then the sub one is one other tab over. And it reads that text format. So it will work with a lot of different mind mapping applications. Or I guess if you were into writing mind maps in Notepad in a linear way, you could read it that way. But I think that would defeat the object of the exercise. Any other questions anyone has? Okay. So we had a look at a sample mind map. Let's have a learn how to create a mind map. So, and if you might want to pay attention here because I'm going to be asking you to do this in a minute. So, So what you're going to need is a sheet of paper, and in case you didn't bring a sheet of paper, anyone doesn't have a pen, I have a bunch of pens up here. If anyone needs a pen, grab one. If you do, come grab one. So, steps for creating a mind map. First of all, usually we use paper this way around because we're used to writing linear notes. But for a mind map, you want to turn it on the side so that you can have more space for drawing things out. And then you'd start by drawing a central image or a keyword in the middle. So I'll come to what you're going to write on there. Don't start writing yet. And then you add different keywords around the edge of the mind map. You draw lines radiating out from it. If you have different color pens, that's great. If you just have today one color pen, that's fine too. And then you can do it in any order you like. You can start out with the central idea and do all the main ideas from it, or you might get really excited about one of those ideas and start filling out the sub-branches and filling that out and then come back to other ideas. So it's not like you have to do it in a certain order. And you might associate ideas. You might draw arrows and lines around to associate things. So it is important to make the writing so it's easy to read. So I'd recommend printing. And because you're only writing keywords and not whole sentences, that isn't too much work. And you might want to add emphasis. You might want to bold something. So let me show you what I'm talking about. So if I had one for CF United website, maybe I want to think about how could I improve the website, or maybe I want to think how could I design it. So what do I want on the CF United website? Well, I guess I want some directions. Now you can see why I should print so you can read what I'm writing. Maybe I want registration information. I might want some topics and who the speakers are. Maybe there's a place where you can schedule what topics. It better be a login. So. And then registration, maybe there's a sub thing for discounts. I hope that gives you some idea of how I might create a mind map. So I'm not going to spend the whole 10 minutes doing it, but you have a central idea, and then you radiate out different things, and you have sub-ideas coming out for it. So actually, that's one application for my map. If you're trying to design a website, and you're thinking, well, what pages do I want? The first thing is think, well, what information am I going to convey, and which is the most important information to my users? So this is one way to organize this. And you know in a website, there are many different ways you could arrange your menu levels. And if you stick something way down a sub-menu, people may not be able to find it. So you have to think, well, what's important to the people coming to my site? So because you can rearrange things easily on a mind map, that's a great way to design the hierarchy of pages on a website. Okay, so did everyone get a piece of paper? Okay. So what I'd like you to first do is think of something that's important to you. So is there some question or problem you have? Maybe it's a current programming challenge. Maybe it's something about how can I do this addition on my home. Maybe it's like how can I get my teenage kids to behave better. Whatever's important to you. So could everyone come up with something that's important to themselves? And when you've come up with that, just draw it in the as a concept, draw it in the center of your paper. Has anyone not come up with a concept? If you have, raise your hand. I'll give you one. Okay, so what I'd like to do now is if we can take 5 minutes, and what I'd like to do is to go ahead and draw a mind map. If you get, you know, follow the directions here, you're going to have a central image, you're going to branch ideas off it, and then you do sub-branches off that. And if anyone gets stuck or needs help, just raise your hand, I'll come help you out. So, go! Yes, you had a question. I could show, would that help you out to see another mind map? Which one are you thinking of, this one or the prettier one? I think this one's easier to read. My handwriting is kind of sucky, so. So you got 2 minutes left. So if you want to wrap up what you're drawing, writing. And now I'd like you to find someone next to you. So if you can pair up, if anyone doesn't have someone who's next to them, raise your hand. I'll find someone to put you next to. So if you find someone to be, you can discuss your mind map with. Is anyone, you can get together in threes if you need to. And then each take 1 minute to discuss your mind map. If you haven't switched people, switch to the other person and talk about their mind map. Okay, if you'd like to wrap up your discussion. So, if we can get back together now. Well, I think I ignited a lot of energy in the room. So if we can get back together now. See, this is one of the dangers of mind mapping. People get excited. So did anyone have any feedback on that exercise? Any comments or any questions or feedback? Yes.
It seems like as you explain it to somebody else, you come up with other ideas or ways you can.
So as you explained it to someone else, even more stuff came up to you.
Almost like a code review where you try to explain to somebody else and find problems or ways of making it better.
Right. It sort of is like, which is why a code review is great, because it makes us think about the code. It's not just someone else reading our code. It's we have to actually explain it. It's like, oh, darn, this didn't quite work right. Yeah, another question or comment.
It also seems like a pen is the wrong tool.
Pen is the wrong tool to use? What do you think the right tool to use would be? Hey, so yeah, the problem with using a pen is it's hard, you can't erase it. I'll have to tell you, when I draw mind maps, I usually throw the first one away and redraw it the second time. So, and that's true even in software. I mean, effectively in software, you're redrawing it all the time anyway. So don't worry about making mistakes when you're doing a mind map. That's all part of the thing. And another great medium for mind mapping is a whiteboard, because it's very easy to erase stuff and move it around. Any other questions or comments on the exercise? Yes? That's a great idea, to use post-its, and then you can move them around. In fact, I've seen people do project planning using post-its, and that's another mind mapping application. Any other feedback on that? Yes? Okay, so the question is, what do you do when you get a lot of redundancy under your sub-branches? Maybe that suggests that some of those areas could be their own main theme, and you could link to them. You can draw arrows between the different branches and link them together. And that's interesting that you found that. I mean, maybe that's new information to you, that there's a lot of commonality there. I don't know what your question was, but whatever it was, you've probably found something out. Any other questions or feedback? So how was doing that? Did it create some energy? I had difficulty getting you back to the attention here, so... I think you can see some of the power of mind mapping. It really gets people excited about stuff. It lets you generate a lot of new ideas. And it makes it easy to share those ideas as well. Yes? So the question is, have I found group mind mapping effective? Yeah, very effective. Because the energy you saw where you had your mind map and you were sharing one person, that gets multiplied out when you've got a whole group of people. So, and the other advantage is when you're doing a meeting, this gives everyone's ideas equal relevance on the whiteboard or whatever you're using to record ideas. So I found that helps too. Yes?
What do you do when you get somebody who's fixated on one way to do the mind map? They can't get away from their
So your question is, what do you do if one person's fixated on their particular thing? Well, that sounds like a management problem to me, but... the advantage that they've seen their idea... Often when people've seen their idea has been recognized in a meeting and not just brushed over, and it's up on the whiteboard or whatever, they often feel acknowledged and they don't want to keep so much fixating. Or whoever's... I'd always recommend in any meeting you have someone facilitate the meeting. And if you have someone facilitating, you encourage them, well, let's hear from someone else too. But, you may have a person problem there too. Any other questions or feedback? So do you feel qualified to create mind maps now? Yeah? Well, you've all created one. I will give you some more information on them, but basically you're ready to go and go back to your offices and use these any way you want, or use them at home. They're a great way to ask yourself questions, to organize things, and come up with new ideas. So let me just review what goes into the mind map. We've got the central image. Then coming out from that, you've got branches. And then from each branch, you've got sub-branches. Here's a mind map. It's titled Improving CFUnited.com. And one of the branches is, what's the audience for this website? And we've got developers, bosses, admin assistants, speakers, sponsors. So... I'm using this to organize my thinking about the site as opposed to the actual content in the site. And I might want to link ideas together. Here I've got a drawn an arrow saying, hey, some of the people doing registration for this event aren't developers, and they aren't bosses, they're admin assistants, and they may not know anything about ColdFusion, so we better make it straightforward. How do you get to the registration page from the homepage? Otherwise, they might get lost if we hid it away somewhere. So let me give you some design tips when you're creating mind maps. Someone said, it's difficult doing it in pen because, it's this desire to do it right. It helps to have a beginner's mind, a childlike way of looking at things. And it doesn't have to be perfect. Just look at it as a draft. You can reorganize it to make it more organized. You can redraw it to make it more organized when you're done. But if you're fixating on doing it perfectly, that's going to get in the way of getting all that creativity out there. Also, as I mentioned before, it's helpful to use keywords and to think about what word represents that concept. And that process of coming up with that keyword actually will help you think through what's important about it. So that's actually part of the process. And then finally, I didn't have colored pens for you to use, so we weren't able to do this, but using color for different things, that also helps with memory. I mean, you're probably aware, you know, familiar using any of the editors for ColdFusion or other languages, that they now do color coding. And, you know, you might say, well, isn't that a waste of time? But I know from my experience, just by seeing that the color looks wrong, you know, suddenly I'm like, oh, that code doesn't look right, even if I haven't read it. You know, so there's a lot of value in using color and symbols because it lets you use other areas of your brain that wouldn't otherwise be available. So I definitely find that helps on mind maps as well. So, helps to think before you write. It's sort of like thinking before you code, which is also a good idea. So we did the exercise. Also, you know, if you're creating mind maps, you're probably going to go through several iterations of the mind map. And you first start by, you know, getting your paper together and deciding what you want to put in the middle. You know, generate the mind map, associate as freely as you can, either on your own or in a group. And then review the map and maybe redraw it and think, well, how do things really connect together, or could I improve how I've got it written this out? And because you're only writing out keywords, you're not writing out a whole essay with 40 pages in, you know, there's not too much work in redoing it. And then something we don't have a chance to do during this talk, I'd suggest you put it aside and then come back to it, you know, after half an hour or sleep on it, you know, and come back to it, because often our brains keep working in the background on things, and new things may occur to you. And then, you know, once you finally got the map the way you like, usually it makes sense to organize the ideas in a logical sequence and go around, you know, clockwise around the central idea. And then finally, if you've done the mind map to come up with ideas for stuff, you know, maybe you're trying to solve a programming problem or, you know, reorganizing your department or whatever the issue you're working with, don't forget to act on whatever those ideas are. So let me now talk about some of the uses of mind mapping in development. Now you all know how to mind map and you've seen some of the techniques. One of the places to use it is in planning a project. So let me show you a mind map for planning a project. So here's a mind map for the project tasks, and here are all the different tasks. Here's an accounting task, and in there you've got an ability to modify the accounting reports. You've got an event report, donations for FEC filings, and then with each task, there's some notes on that. And here you see I'm using a symbol. There's a question mark symbol here. Indicates, you know, I'm not quite sure what's going on in that task. I need to do something further. There are also tasks, if you're doing project management, you know, you can put a little checkbox to indicate that the task is completed. You might also put estimates onto the thing. You know, say this task is going to take this many days to complete. So that's a way to organize a project, and it helps you see the whole project. You know, sometimes I've seen people print these out and check them off. Someone over here was saying, you know, use yellow stickies. I've seen people organize projects, you know, which piece are we going to do first, and then move them around, and that's a similar technique. So mind maps can be good for projects. It helps you see the whole structure of the thing easily in one shape, in one diagram. Another thing that I already mentioned for mind mapping is brainstorming. You know, you've got some problem and you're stuck. You know, that sometimes happens on development projects. You run into some technical problem, you're not sure how to work around it, so you get the team together and you brainstorm about, well, what are the different ways we could work around this? So mind mapping for brainstorming is great because you can record up the ideas, you can interrelate ideas, and I don't know how many of you have ever done brainstorming, but has anyone here ever done brainstorming? Or, yeah? It's a very effective technique, but it's important that you don't criticize the ideas while they come up. And you don't get too hung up on one idea. The concept of brainstorming has come up with a whole bunch of ideas, And then once after you've had the brainstorming, then you come back and evaluate, hey, which ones of these will work for our situation. So mind mapping's great for supporting that in a team because you can recognize and acknowledge that that idea has been put up and it won't be forgotten. And you can also relate the different ideas together easily and come up with new interconnections. And the great energy you get that you just saw when you did that exercise earlier, that really helps with the brainstorming and coming up with different ideas. If you're running meetings, I found it's a great way to keep the meeting on task because everyone can see what's the goal of this meeting. That would be what you'd put in the center of it. So if you've got a programmer meeting, put the goal up in the center of the whiteboard and then radiate off from it. And also it gives you a set of notes. You can, if you're doing it on a whiteboard, you can photograph the whiteboard and then print out the image, which is what I've done for this. Or if you're using software, you can just hand out the notes from that. I've also found it's good for documenting systems. We've got that tool, FuseMinder, that will take a Fusebox application and produce this diagram. But even if you're not using Fusebox, you can use this to diagram out what are the different areas in my application and what are the areas within that and have a complete diagram of the whole system. Then when someone new joins the team, you know, maybe in 6 months and they're having to do maintenance on the system, they can understand how does everything fit together and how is it arranged, which saves a lot of time when someone's getting up to speed on a project to have some documentation, to have a roadmap. I think documentation is critical to having maintenance on a project go smoothly. And to be honest, if you were, you know, driving across country, you probably wouldn't think of doing it without a map. Similarly, if you're going to work on a system that's taken several man years to put together, you really wouldn't want to go tinkering around with that code without a map. Also, if you're, you know, I know from my experience, programming over the last 25 years, it seems like every year there is something new to learn, even every 6 months probably. And mind mapping is a great way to take notes. You know, if you're trying to understand a new subject, like maybe you've just got into object-oriented coding and you want to understand it, by writing out a mind map before you fully understand it, you kind of draw out, here are the concepts I understand them. It helps get clear in your brain how do these things relate together. It may identify stuff that you want to study further. So great way of improving our programming sources. And then if you have a collection of resources, a mind map is a great way to organize a collection of resources you have, either for a team or for yourself. And I think one of the neat things, if you think about it, that the fact that mind mapping's hierarchical and things branch out is almost like a website. You know, you have the homepage and then things branch out into related things. So it's a common metaphor that people have. Or if you're used to using a wiki for recording things, that's a similar hierarchical thing. But the mind map gets it all on one page. So, okay, any questions anyone has so far? Or other feedback? So let's have a look at some of those other applications that you can use mind mapping for. Requirements gathering, Fusebox architecting. Let's see if I have some requirements that we gathered. I think this is some requirements. So this was for a website, and this was from a discussion. And I think this mind map was created in a few hours from a while meeting with the client. And you can see this mind map isn't, you know, fully complete. So there are different sections in here, there's some admin sections. And then here, you know, there's some question marks because we're not sure exactly what the requirement is. And some things have been crossed out or put in a different color to indicate there's some more work that has to be done. Some other sections are more complete. And I found when gathering requirements with a user using mind maps that way, it's very easy for someone else to read the mind map. I mean, we'll just print this to a PDF and email it to them or print it out, give it to them, and then get feedback. And I found people don't have any trouble picking up what is this about because the content is all about their application, so they really get that. And the advantage of using a mind map rather than linear notes for this is it makes it a lot easier to rearrange the requirements. I know from my experience requirements gathering, it seems I'm learning something new about the application all the time. So often there's a lot of rearranging that has to happen. And mind mapping makes it easy to do that rearranging. So requirements gathering is one of the things you can use it. Already showed you a fuse box architecting example where you're trying to work out, well, how do I split up my application into different circuits and what fuse actions are in each circuit, and then what commonalities are there between the code so I can reuse code instead of writing it repeatedly five different times in the application. So mind mapping is good for that. We mentioned brainstorming already. If you're stuck on an application, you know, how can you come up with a workaround or how can you fix the problem? Similarly, when debugging something, if I've been debugging something for half an hour and I'm not getting anywhere, maybe it's time to stop tinkering with the code and stand back a bit and think about, well, what is this problem and where is it coming from and what are ways I could find solutions for it? We had a look at project management already to organize all the different pieces of a project. Another thing on on larger projects, often there are questions that occur on a project that haven't been answered yet. So I may have 30 or 40 or 100 questions about the project. Some of them have been answered, some haven't. A mind map's a way to organize all the questions, group together common ones, and also indicate which ones have been answered and what the answer is. Because usually on a project it's important that all the issues get resolved before the project completes. Let's see if I have any other mind maps in there. We had a web page hierarchy as well. Whoa, that is a big mind map. So this is a whole website. Let me just zoom in on that. Problem with zooming in. There we go. So this is the menu system, a hierarchy for a website. And, you know, obviously a website menu system is typically hierarchical. So arranging that in a mind map's good. And then you can move things around and see what works in the hierarchy. And you might even add different notes into it if you want to put more detail on it. So that's another use for mind maps. So let me talk about tools you can use for mind mapping. You've already got one in your hand, which is pen and paper. Someone already mentioned yellow sticky pads or a whiteboard. They're great tools for mind mapping. The software I was using is MindMapper, which is made by MindMapper.com. There's an open source mind mapping tool. I think there's several, actually. OpenMind is one, and FreeMind is another. So, you know, there's no reason not to do this. I think MindMapper probably starts at about $40. So, but I think it's $40, yeah. But, I mean, the open source ones are free if $40 is too much. So I certainly... you know, just check out some of those tools. If you're doing pen and paper, try and get some different colored pens because that helps. And I don't know if you noticed when I was in this mind mapping tool, let's come to a smaller mind map, it picks different colors for the different branches. And also, one other thing you may notice, it the more important branches are done with thicker lines, which kind of emphasizes their importance. And the other nice thing about the different mind mapping tools is that, you know, if you don't like things going off to the left, you can make it a radial mind map easily. And if you don't like the order things are in, whoops, if I can get it to drag correctly. You can rearrange the order of things if I can get it to drag.
Can you collapse
the branches? Yeah, you can. See if I can figure out how to collapse the branches. You can collapse the branches. I'm forgetting where that is on the menu, but yeah, you can collapse them because that if you've got a really big mind map, it can get a little out of control. So it's nice to be able to do that. I don't see. Yeah, I don't see where it is, but if you're interested in seeing how to do that, I'll find it after the talk, but you definitely can collapse the branches and just get a certain level of it. Also, you can, you know, if you can move things around. If you don't think this belongs here, you can drag it over here. Well, doesn't want to drag. Drag over here. There we go. Whoops, I think I promoted that there. I didn't mean to promote it. So you can drag things around easily, and that's one of the great things. Yes? Sorry, I didn't quite catch the question. Can you type URLs into it? Sure, you can type whatever you like. I mean, here's the other nice thing about the software. If I've got a website here, you know, when I just hit, whoops, I help if I could spell, but not one of my strong points. What I'm doing is typing, and every time I hit enter, it's creating another branch. So it does have a spell checker, yeah. And then if you select another thing, you know, you can just keep typing and adding things on very easily, so it's very quick to create. Yeah, I apologize about my spelling. So any other questions on tools or mind mapping? Okay. So let me give you some resources and then... So the guy who invented mind mapping, Tony Bazan, he has a website, mindmap.com. He has some resources on there. He's written several books on mind mapping as well. I mentioned FuseMinder and MindFuser if you're into Fusebox coding. They're at Jeff Peters' site, grokfusebox.com. Here are some articles on mind mapping and some tools. I think this is a collection of a lot of mind mapping tools and websites at innovationtools.com. And Map Your Mind has some other resources for mind mapping and some articles about that. And then I discovered Google has started doing directories like Yahoo does, and they have a directory for mind mapping. So that had some other resources on there that were interesting. Of course, you can Google for mind mapping too. And then if you're interested in learning more about this, there's some good books on it. One of the ones I really like is called Mind Mapping in a Space. And that has a lot of neat mind maps in, a lot of neat diagrams. It's a mind map of the whole book in the front cover. They really take... in fact, when they do the author bios in the book, they give each of their bios as a mind map, which I thought was cute. And Tony Bazan, mind map book, goes into how to create mind maps and what you can use them for. And then Use Your Head was the original book he came out that introduced mind maps, and that's about... how you can improve your thinking and memory process and how we can tap into the parts of the mind we don't usually use. I mean, they say we only use maybe 5% of our brains when we're doing typical work, including computer programming. Wouldn't it be great to be able to tap into that other 95%? And mind mapping is one of the ways to tap into some of that extra ability. So I'm kind of curious, does anyone have any... things you're thinking you could use this for? Yeah. Troubleshooting. Okay, that's a great idea. You're troubleshooting different server configurations and you're mind mapping what's on one system, what's on another, and then you probably can figure out, well, why isn't it working on one when it works fine on the other? Any other? Yeah. So you'd already done this before without knowing the name for it.
Yeah.
And you used it for a knowledge base. That's great. Yes. So you've got a large application written using the Mark II framework, and you'd like to have a diagram that shows how does it all relate together and what are the different objects and how do they fit together. And maybe it would give you some new ideas to how to refactor the code. So, Any other ideas or feedback anyone has? So who here thinks they could be able to use this when they get back to their office? All right, way to go, guys. So you're no longer mind mapping virgins. You now know how to do it. You know, just to summarize, mind maps really help increase your thinking ability. They help you remember things a lot better. I guarantee you this mind map you wrote today, you will remember better than other notes you took on other subjects. Because A, you were really interested in whatever you wrote down, and B, it just came out visually better. In fact, one of the techniques when you're studying from a book, when you mind map, is you write out the mind map, and then the next day you try writing out the mind map from memory, and then compare it to how you wrote it out from the notes and see what didn't you remember, and that gives you a clue where you need to study more and where you've already picked stuff up. Great for team discussions and problem solving, because everything gets recognized on the whiteboard and you can see how things interconnect a lot better than if you're just writing out a bulleted list. And I find it very easy to mind map. I mean, a lot of you came in here not knowing how to do it. I got the impression you were able to successfully do it. I mean, I didn't see your mind maps, but you seem to get very excited about them. So to me, that indicates it was success, and it's also fun to do. So go out and mind map.
Thank you for listening, and we hope we will see you at CF United 2007. This has been a production by TerraTech Programming. For more information, go to www.cfunited.com.